The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Good morning, Summit family. Thank you so much for tuning in again today. We are excited for an opportunity to sing together. We're going to do a medley here at the beginning with hopefully some familiar choruses to you, and we encourage you to sing along from wherever you're joining us this morning.
My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior, that I rest all my days in the goodness. of Jesus. Come, you weary heart, now to Jesus. Come, you anxious soul, now and see. Steering in His wondrous peace. Oh, the goodness of Jesus. Satisfy, He is all that I need. May it become a land that I rest all my days. That I rest all my days in the goodness of Jesus.
Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am godly. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for you do I cry all the day. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you answer me. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Untie my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love toward me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol.
Thank you. Let me encourage you to join me in Psalm 86 this morning. It's an encouragement, an honor to study this passage with you. Do you remember the first time you wanted to be like someone else? You admired something in someone so much that you wanted to mimic their style. Maybe it was their look or their personality, or even their athletic ability. You wanted to be like them. Over the last several weeks, my son and I, who is 12, we've been watching the documentary on Michael Jordan, The Last Dance, which traces his career with the Chicago Bulls and further solidifies, in my opinion, to another generation that he is indeed the greatest of all time. Now, you are free to disagree with that, but you are also free to be wrong. For me, it was him, and it was 1992. I was 10, and it was the year of the famous Gatorade commercial, "I Want to Be Like Mike." Sometimes I dream that he is me. You've got to see that that's how I dream to be, if I could just be like Mike. Obviously, I didn't know the person. I did not know the man. I didn't know his character or his lifestyle, but there was something that I saw in him that made me aware that I wasn't like that, that I didn't have what he had, and I wanted that. I wanted to be like him. And here's the thing. I wish I could just chalk this up to being 10, a 10-year-old's fantasy. But the reality is, as a 37-year-old man, I still struggle to be myself. I still wrestle with just being me. And sometimes that struggle, it comes out around other people, whether it's the pressure of comparison or the temptation of pretending to be someone that I'm not. So sometimes it's people, but oftentimes it's with God himself. One of the things that I'm learning about my journey with the Lord is that there's still a very real possibility within me to put a version of myself before the Lord that isn't fully me. There's still these moments where I'm tempted to make myself look better, to sound more put together, to convince myself that what I'm thinking and feeling isn't real or it's not that important. It's this wrestle to just be who I am before God. And my guess is this morning, I'm not alone. The thing that strikes me about Psalm 86, it grips me, is that David shows us how to just be before God, how to be ourselves with him. No pretense, no facade, no well thought out speech or words that fit into all the right categories. No reluctance to being truly honest or completely honest about what's going on within. David's prayer in Psalm 86 is a model for us on how to be ourselves with God. Now, David's a brilliant poet. We've been studying that over the last several weeks. We have seen that he is an incredible thinker. He has a brilliant mind. But he's none of those things in Psalm 86. His thoughts are up and down. His words are scattered. They don't flow well. You and I could essentially say this about David in Psalm 86. He is on an emotional roller coaster. His inner life, his inner wrestle is just that. It's a wrestle of belief and doubt, of personal desire and walking in the ways of God, of difficult circumstances and choosing to walk and live by faith. David is all over the place emotionally in Psalm 86, but he is also himself before the Lord. I tend to believe that most of us struggle to be honest about our emotions. Here's what I mean by that. I think we struggle to be honest about what we're truly thinking, the thoughts that just consume our minds, what we are truly feeling. And I think oftentimes we don't give much thought to our emotions until we reach crisis. It's typically the circumstance, or it's the unpleasant moment or season that forces us to think about what's really going on within. And so prayer oftentimes becomes this mechanism that we grab hold of because we're in a tight spot. Or prayer is the card that we pull out when we want God to get on board with our needs and our wants. But what if the focus of prayer is more about the transformation of our inner life, the transformation of our hearts, despite our circumstances, despite our emotions? As one writer comments, he says, what if prayer is talking, sharing, and being yourself with the most loving, forgiving, powerful, safest, present, most beautiful being in all the universe? And as a result of this ongoing encounter where we get to be with God, we get to be ourselves with Him, our divided hearts, our hearts that are all over the place are being stitched together and are being made whole. This is Psalm 86. And there's a couple movements in this psalm that David models for us that I want us to see. I think it's an invitation for you and I to just be ourselves with God. Now, as we think about the context of Psalm 86, evil men are seeking after David's life. We don't know who they are. We don't know why they are after him, but here's what we do know. They are vile men. That's what David's going to tell us in this psalm. These are men who oppose the Lord. They do not fear his name. So we know circumstantially things aren't good for David. He's not in a good place. And this is what he prays, Psalm 86, verse 1. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am godly. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. In the day of my trouble, I call upon you. And here's why I call upon you, because you answer me. The first movement that I want to point out from this psalm is this. Prayer exposes what's true. It exposes what's true. In David's prayer, something becomes undeniably clear to him. He learns something, namely about himself and his relationship with God. So think of prayer this way. Prayer has the potential to expose. It has the potential to expose what's true about what's going on within us, about our thoughts and our emotions. Look back at verse 1, because I want you to pay attention to what David's thinking. Verse 1, he says, I am poor and needy. In other words, God, I don't have anything apart from you. I'm nothing without you. Verse 2, he says, I am faithful. You are the one who I trust. So I'm faithful because of your faithfulness. So I'm clinging to you. Verse 3, I cry out to you. I am dependent upon you. Verse 7, in my trouble, you're the one I call out to. Verse 12, I give thanks to you because my heart is filled with gratitude. Verse 14, he says, these evil men have risen up against me. I don't know what to do. I don't know what, where to turn to. I'm afraid. Verse 16, turn to me and be gracious, O Lord, for you are the one who has the strength. I don't have any strength, but I know you do, and you're the one that I am pleading with to be gracious to me. Verse 17, show me your favor. You alone can comfort me. Do you see what's happening here? David's thoughts are rising to the surface. They're not just sitting in the quiet recesses of his mind and heart. They're not being suppressed. They're not being downplayed. They're being spoken to God. And as he exposes, as he speaks these things out loud to the Lord, it's exposing in David not only what he's thinking, but also what he's feeling. Look back at verses 1 and 2 because we see his emotions also at play here. He says, incline your ear, answer me, preserve my life, save me. David is desperate. Verses 3 and 4, be gracious to me. I pray to you all the day. Make my soul glad. The reason that you pray for your soul to be made glad is because you are sad. So he's desperate. He's sad. Verses 6 and 7, give ear to my prayer. Listen to my plea. In my trouble, I call to you. So he's not only desperate and sad, he's stressed. He is in distress. And simply view the stories and the influences and the truths that are disconnected from us, to view them as though it has no bearing on our life today, right here, right now. But David doesn't pray that way. God's faithfulness to his covenant people in Exodus 34 is just as real and tangible and present to David as he pours himself out to God in Psalm 86. And the same faithful God who is abounding in steadfast love is present among us today, eager for us to cast our cares onto him because he cares for us. And you know what? It's prayer that exposes this truth to us. David is going back to the words of God to inform his life rather than allowing his emotions to govern him. And I want you to know this is so pivotal. It's a pivotal move in prayer because we need something far beyond simply emptying our minds of worry. We need something more than merely being honest about our emotions and confessing them out loud. David doesn't just need to get things off his chest. David needs perspective. David needs healing. He needs God's truth applied to his heart. And it's prayer that allows us to interpret our circumstances, whether joyful or painful, in light of God's promises. Dietrich Bonhoeffer on the Psalms says this: if we were entirely dependent upon ourselves, we would probably just pray the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, give us today our daily need. In other words, we would just pray our needs. But God wants it otherwise. The richness of the Word of God ought to determine our prayer, not the poverty of our heart. It does not depend, therefore, on whether the psalm expresses adequately that which we feel at that precise moment in our hearts. If we are to pray aright, if we are to connect with God, perhaps it is quite necessary that we pray contrary to our hearts. You see, prayer is the conscious decision to come and listen, to come and bear our soul, to come and wait so that we might hear how God heals, that we might hear how God comforts, that we might hear how God works apart from our own imagination. It may not seem useful in terms of efficiency, but it's necessary for our sanity. It may feel daunting because it exposes what's really going on beneath the surface, but there's freedom and healing found in the place where we are willing to be our true selves before God and pray contrary to our hearts by the richness of God's truth. So I want to invite you right now to take just a moment to be yourself before God. And I want to invite you to do that in two ways. Number one, listen. What's going on within you today? What are you thinking? What are your thoughts? What are you feeling? And as those rise to the surface, and maybe that's difficult in this moment, ask the Lord to help reveal what you are thinking and what you are feeling. And maybe the first thing that comes to mind, I want you to grab hold of and do this. I want you to not just listen, but to speak the truth of God to your heart. What's true of Him, what's true of what He says about you, what's true of your current situation and circumstance, and what's true of your future based upon who God is and what God is doing. And you can take Psalm 86 to do that. Would you take a moment to listen and then speak the truth over your heart?
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. For more information about Summit Upstate and other available resources, check out our website at summitupstate.org.